Welcome to this special edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study. It's an open forum, and it's your time to call with your questions about the Bible, biblical teachings, and practical Christian living. Whatever's on your mind, call 631-955-5400 to be on the program, or text your question to Pastor Bill at 516-367-0391. Now, here's your host for today's open forum, Pastor Bill Shishko.
And this is Pastor Bill Shishko with your host for today's Visit to the Pastor's Study, inviting your calls for our monthly open forum. The live call-in number, as you heard, 631-955-5400. Hope you'll jot it down, 631-955-5400. Or text questions. Put these under Pastor Bill. You can text your questions anytime during the week at 516-367-0391, 516-367-0391, and your texted questions shape the show, as it were, as you'll find out in today's program. We have two questions from a listener, and they're quite timely as we face the beginning of a new year. I have a guest pastor to help me, as I usually do with our open forums, Pastor Jonathan Holst of Westminster Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Hamden, Connecticut. Hey, welcome, Pastor John.
Hi, Pastor Bill.
Good to have you with us today. I love your lilting Welsh accent. Okay, here's the first question from the listener, and I'll let you start, Pastor Holst. As a pastor, are you in favor of making New Year's resolutions? And if so, would you suggest some, please? There you go, Pastor Holst.
I am in favor of making these resolutions. I don't do it a great deal myself, and should be somewhat admonished by this listener's question. I can recall a few years ago reading in a magazine called Table Talk, which you'll know, Pastor Bill, reading an article there by a man called Burke Parsons, and he picked apart the introduction to Jonathan Edwards' resolutions, which he wrote down, I think, when he was 19 years old. Four good points were made there, which I've kept with me. If we are going to make New Year's resolutions, then we need to ask, what's the resolution for? Or more to the point, who is it for? Is it for me and, you know, my own self-promotion and narcissism? Or is it for God and His glory? I've actually managed to dig out the opening words of Edwards's comments, a bit of a preamble, you could say, to his resolutions. And he writes, "Being sensible that I'm unable to do anything without God's help,
yeah,
I do humbly entreat Him by His grace to enable me to keep these resolutions so far as they're agreeable to His will for Christ's sake." And that last part, "for Christ's sake," I think that's the foundation we have to start on with all of life, of course, but particularly about resolutions. And then, prayerfully, we need to ask ourselves, are these resolutions sensible? Or perhaps I should turn that around a little. We should prayerfully ask God to help us arrive at sensible resolutions. The Lord tells us in writing of James that we don't have because we don't ask, and we should ask for wisdom. And in this matter, we certainly need divine wisdom to guide us to realistic resolutions, because unrealistic or unattainable goals can be so self-defeating, can't they?
Yeah, sure, exactly.
And if we're going to lay hold of sensible resolutions, then we have to outwork them depending on Christ and His Spirit. If we're resolving to serve the Lord in the coming year, mindful of our weakness, then any Christian with half an ounce of spiritual wisdom would be saying, "Now, because I am a weak sinner, I need the enabling of the Lord Jesus and His Spirit. And we will pray continually for that." It's true that in Christ we can do all things. But we need to ask. We need to be in prayer. And thus do that which is agreeable to Christ's will. And then Also, I think it's helpful to remember, in the matter of resolutions, the whole question of humility. If we're sensible to our own limitations, if we're dependent on Christ and His Spirit to guide us, then we won't be trying to step forward in pride and personal strength, but we'll be humbly entreating the Lord by His grace to enable us, as Jonathan Edwards put it. I think that New Year's resolutions, or any resolution for that matter, can have a key place in one's personal sanctification. And it's the Holy Spirit that sanctifies us, so humility has to be key to this. As with any aspect of our personal growth in grace, we step forth to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, and that's humility.
Yes.
So, new resolutions, yes, do they have to be at the new year? No. But they have to be for God's glory. They have to be sensible to our own limitations. They have to be outworked in divine dependence and in that spirit of humility.
Pastor,
I'm just borrowing from Jonathan Edwards.
Yeah, I'm interested, when you refer to the article in Table Talk, at the beginning, did you say he picked apart Edwards' resolutions, or the critically, or he just opened them, like, explained them a bit more? I wasn't quite sure what you were getting at there.
He explained them.
Oh, explained them. Okay.
He explained the preamble.
I so appreciate you thinking of those, because when I was preparing for the program, I thought, you take out a concordance, and so I looked, is there anything like the word resolution or even resolve? And there isn't that word used, at least in standard concordances. You have them, Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, for me and my house, we will serve
the
Lord.
Sure, I thought of that, yeah.
Yeah, but I so appreciate you reminding us of Edwards' resolutions, which you can get on the Internet. The one that impacted me so much, of the many, is resolve to live every day as if it were my last day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if there was only one, that would be excellent. Yeah, I appreciate you giving the framework for that. I mean, Jesus saying, without me, you can do nothing. I mean, that has to undergird all of our resolutions. I tended to think of them more in terms of as you did, self-assessment and even planning. And those things are really things that we really, that's a better part of our humanity, is to assess ourselves, plan things, and so on. I think of Proverbs 16:9, the mind or the heart of a person plans his ways, and there would be something like a new year, a resolution.
Sure.
But the Lord directs his steps, which is what you're saying. You have to do these things under the sovereignty of God. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but the counsel of the Lord, it will stand. Again, your point, and Edwards as well, on Proverbs 21:5, which I love, the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage. I mean, we're made in God's image, so we plan things. I think I would add to what Pastor Holst said, and I appreciate the question. As a pastor, are you in favor of making New Year's resolutions? New Year's resolutions are a little bit like the law of God in a way. We
sure.
say we're going to do these things, and it's not long. Usually it's January 1st or the day after. We find that we're just not doing them the way we should. I mean, you are going to break your New Year's resolution. So always say, so thankful for the active obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. No hope without it. And I appreciated Pastor Holst saying, not just in the new year, don't confine your resolutions to the new year time. See, our self-righteousness will begin to kick in here. Oh, I've made a wonderful batch of New Year's resolutions, when in fact we need to make resolves every time we're reading the Word of God or sitting under the preaching of the Word or under the teaching of it. Isaiah, the many examples, Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, he's in the presence of God, and God cleanses him, and he wants to hear what God says and go do it. So please, commit yourself to do what the Word of God says whenever you read it. And I'd also add, when you're partaking of the Lord's Supper, that's a little bit kind of like, yeah, like a regular physical in a way, where we examine ourselves and our areas of failing, and we praise the Lord for His goodness, but also recommit ourselves. Pastoral, talk daily self-examination. Talk about daily resolves in that regard.
Well, yes. There's, in my mind, resolutions should be part of that ongoing, continuous work of repentance. They should be a tool or a regulator, almost, in our own self-assessment on a daily basis, as you say, but also the Lord will give us doorways, perhaps, in our life. I've just started a new job. What's entailed in this? What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What do I need to resolve to be alert to? Or you mentioned Lord's Supper. I mean, Pastor Bill, do you know how many children and adults you've baptized over the years?
I don't remember.
But every time an adult or a child is baptized, there's a call, which sometimes a minister will make explicit,
yes,
to other Christians watching to build on their own baptism.
Yes, yes.
And then, as you say, there's the Lord's Supper. There, my point is simply that you talk about an ongoing daily self-assessment, and you know, I agree with that, and the Lord gives us certain key opportunities, which aren't going to come at January the 1st.
Right.
And they'll come at different times of the year.
Right.
And they should be part of the flow of our Christian life, and at those points we seek to nail our colors to the mast, if only for our own sake, with a resolution.
Yeah, you remind me, too, even when we hear vows taken, people come into church membership and take their vows,
sure,
or they're baptized, or they have their children baptized, or marriage vows. These are also times for us to renew our own vows, which really are resolutions, yeah. Yeah. The questioner asked, too, Pastor Holst, would you suggest some New Year's resolutions, maybe one or two that stand out in your mind?
The basics. I would encourage people to focus on the basic, let's call them the regular and simple disciplines of Christian life, such as Bible reading, prayer. If you're a member of a family, perhaps head of the household, family devotions. But also, I would encourage people to begin to think outside their own lives and see how they can use resolutions to invite others in and show the love and hospitality,
yes,
of the kingdom.
It
might be as simple as, okay, here's my budget, here's my spare time. I resolve that I am going to invite people into my home once a quarter for this year. I've known others who've made a resolution to invite every member in their church into their home in a set period. Now, in some churches, one could do that in 12 months. In other churches, that would take several years. We have a friend who resolved to invite all their neighbors into their home, family by family, as a means of outreach.
Excellent.
So there's some examples, and I know also, as you mentioned, such commitments are made, and we could be charitable and say life happens, but then I'd encourage people to look to Elijah.
Yeah.
He challenged the people of God on Mount Carmel to make a resolution.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
But what happened to him a short time later? He flees to Mount Sinai. And appears, if I understand the scriptures correctly, appears to have something of a struggle of faith.
Yes, yes, exactly. Interesting. Yeah, I would add to what Pastor Holst said, and I agree completely with those. Number one, read in the new year. With the modern media, we're losing our ability to process information by reading. So reading good books, and of course the best book to read is your Bible. If you'd like a reading schedule for the year, we can provide one for you. You can just email me at visitpastorbill@gmail.com. We can get one of those for you. You've got to text your name and address, though, or I can't send it to you. Also, use trustworthy guides for your Bible reading if you want one of the older commentaries. That's excellent. Matthew Henry's commentary, you might want to prefer an abridged version. The full version is quite lengthy. Or if you want something more recent, InterVarsity Press's the New Bible Commentary for the 21st Century is very helpful. Okay, so that's the first question from our listener. There's another one, but you're going to have to wait to hear it. If you'd like to call in with your question, 631-955-5400. And a number for texted questions anytime in the week, 516-367-0391. Text them to Pastor Bill. But now, this message from the voice of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
That great city, New York. Metropolitan New York is the largest city in the United States. And with a population of over 20 million people, Metro New York is one of the largest cities in the world. And what's more, Metro New York is home to people from every nation of the world. To reach Metro New York is to reach the world. But churches faithful to historic Reformation Christianity in the Metro New York area are few and far between. The mission fields of Metro New York are America's richest and most neglected. Reformation Metro New York is an agency by which the Orthodox Presbyterian Church is planting and developing biblically faithful churches and church ministries in the Metro New York area. Through Reformation Metro New York, you can help promote the outreach of this program, A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and other projects designed to further the ongoing reformation of the church. That and church planting are the great passions of Reformation Metro New York. For more information, check out the website at reformationmetrony.org, where you'll get a personal look at the ministries of the churches, pastors, evangelists, and teachers of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in the area, and you'll learn how you can be a part of our labors. We need your help. Here's the site again, reformationmetrony.org. Thanks for your interest and your help. Remember that great city, New York. To reach Metro New York is to reach the world. Now back to today's edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
Pastor Bill Shishko here with you in an open forum. It is the second question that came from our listener. Given the decline in our culture, are you pessimistic or optimistic about the new year, Pastor Holst?
A good question.
Yeah.
I think to give a biblical and, that is to say, correct response to this question, one or two other points need to be made first. I think in the world we live in, we're increasingly presented with the idea that what goes round comes around. I grew up just before Alec Guinness at Star Wars started telling us all, "May the Force be with you." Since then, we've been inundated with the idea of the cycle of successive existence, the wheel of life, what goes round comes round, and so on. And that's great for the movies, but it does not reflect the linear nature of God's dealings with humanity. Ever since God intervened in the Garden of Eden, he promised that there would be a struggle against evil, that those who biologically came from the woman, that some of them, like her, would be opposed to the evil one and struggle until that struggle came to the climax of Christ Jesus and his victory over the evil one. So the passage of time and history works toward that inevitable end that's been divinely appointed by God, where the kingdoms of this world will all become the kingdoms of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, since that is the actual trajectory of history, I prefer to introduce a third category. It's not a case of, am I pessimistic, am I optimistic, because I look to 2019. I hope I'm biblically realistic. Christ makes it clear that there will be comfort and there will be pain. There's going to be growth and there will be declension. there'll be righteousness, and there'll be sin. But all those are at his, well, at his behest, at his control. And all those are outworking his intents. He works all things for our good and for his own glory, we'd say. So in 2019, I see tremendous opportunity for the gospel. But I think some of these opportunities will come in a national or regional, maybe even local church or local district and family disruption in judgment. I think a nation such as ours, if I can own the USA as my nation, even though I'm not actually a citizen, so I should be careful of it. A nation such as this, which is literally hell-bent on killing so many children in utero, it's not headed to a good place.
No.
Especially when so many in the church, in the visible church at least, they're crying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. But for those willing to speak for our Lord and Savior, this brings great opportunity.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, that opportunity might be increasingly closer to the opportunities that fathers in the faith like Pastor Wang Yi of the Early Rain Covenant Church are experiencing right now.
Yes, yes.
So the listener asks, am I optimistic or pessimistic looking to 2019? Well, I'll avoid the question. I hope I'm biblically realistic.
Pastor Holst, just in a minute or so that you have left for your part of the program, tell us a little bit about where you minister.
I serve in Hamden, Connecticut. Our town butts up against New Haven, so we feel the influence of Yale University and quite a number of other universities roundabout. Everything that a person who's traveled through New England would expect is probably true of us here. We have some New York Yankees, we have Connecticut Yankees, we have a variety of people that come, some seeking to know the Lord, others have already resolved their need to turn to Christ for salvation and recognize him as their only hope in this life and the next.
Well, and the name of the church, Pastor Holst, and your contact information.
We're Westminster Presbyterian Church. We're located at 565 Shepherd Avenue. You can reach me or one of the other elders in the church. The phone number is 203-288-8161.
Okay.
Or you can visit our website, which is www.westpresopc.org.
Excellent. And that's in Hamden, Connecticut. Thanks, Pastor Holst, for being my guest pastor today. Let me just, in the counsel from the pastor's study section, put something in the framework of what Pastor Holst said to the question, given the decline in our culture. Are you pessimistic or optimistic about the new year? I'm always optimistic, and I think you should be too, because pessimism comes because we watch the news, as they call it, and read newspapers more than we read our Bibles and believe God's promises. I mean, how can you not be optimistic when God says he works all things together for good to those who love him and are the called according to his purpose? See, we should not judge the progress of the gospel by what we see in our own nation, the apostasy that Pastor Holst has referred to here, and it's horrible outworkings. But don't be nearsighted. Why be optimistic? All authority in heaven and on earth is given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel is still God's power unto salvation, and God's truth endures to all generations, and God will get glory in his church through Jesus Christ in all generations, and the light does shine in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. So with all of the realism of a world under the curse, let's be optimistic about our reigning God. Hey, thanks to my guest, Pastor Jonathan Holst of Westminster Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Hamden, Connecticut, for being my guest today. And thank you for listening today. Privileged to be a pastor to you through the medium of radio. Check out the archives of past Visit to the Pastor's Study programs at sermonaudio.com has all of them, or you can go to our own website and visit the Pastor's Study. or you can visit thepastorstudy.org, or you can just email me for information, visitpastorbill@gmail.com, visitpastorbill@gmail.com, or 516-593-1507. That'll get you right to my study, 516-593-1507. Remember, Sunday is the Lord's Day. Be sure to set apart time to worship the Lord in a church that is faithful to the Word of God. And remember that everyone needs a pastor.
You've been listening to a special open forum edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, a ministry of Reformation Metro New York Incorporated and the Orthodox Presbyterian Churches of Metropolitan New York and Connecticut. For more information on the program, check out our website at www.visitthepastorstudy.org. That's www.visitthepastorstudy.org. Listen in next Saturday at 1 p.m. for another open forum edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study. Remember, everyone needs a pastor.